Let's go to chapter number two, which is on emerging technology trends and information security. Now, as we keep saying, and you must be aware, the technology is changing at a rapid pace. Nearly every day, there are new changes that are coming. So, in this chapter, what we will do is we will try to understand major technology trends that are emerging now in the recent past and will be there for some more time. And how does it impact the information security in this chapter? So the coverage would be introduction. We'll look into areas of virtualization, cloud computing, which I think now everyone is using, teleworking, online business and m-commerce, thin client and bring your own device, endpoint detection and response. And we'll summarize this whole thing. So I think we are looking at close to six new technologies, or some have been a bit old, but they are still evolving and emerging. So we put them under emerging category right now and then summarize and see how does it dovetail into information security. So as we discussed, that technology is constantly advancing, and because of which there are new trends that are shaping the digital landscape. So we are moving into a SaaS, IaaS, PaaS, cloud computing, networking, you talk about it, it's there. And therefore, in these changing environment and emerging technologies, how information is being managed and secured. So why are we trying to understand this? Because if we understand these emerging trends, then we know how effectively information security practices can be managed there. And as we said, it's not one-time activity, it's a continuous activity. Iterative approach needs to be taken for risk management in the last chapter. So similarly, continuous adaptation and proactive security mindset is a must now to navigate the dynamic intersection of technology and information security in the digital age. The financial implication of cyber incidents also underscore the critical role of information security in averting potential monetary losses associated with data recovery, legal proceedings, and business continuity. We have also seen that in many cases, the firms have gone down under because of it. So the financial implication can be low as a small dollar, but it as high as closing of an organization. So with that kind of implications, it is important that we understand the information security needs in this emerging trends. So let's look at the first trend that we discussed about, which is virtualization. So decentralization trends started driven by the perceived high cost of centralized servers in terms of both acquisition and maintenance. So what happened is you had huge data center, you would order all these servers and they would be coming in a centralized data center and install there. So the cost and the time and to bring it up and to maintain it was looking very expensive, and therefore some kind of decentralization was required. Now, why this benefit of decentralization? It facilitated ongoing maintenance, allowing patches and upgrades without affecting other systems. Then it improved security by isolating compromised system from the network. And drawbacks of decentralization, that it increased power consumption, physical space requirement, and management effort. Also, it elevated the annual maintenance cost per machine, and it reduced efficiency because servers were working with only 15%, 20% load. So the balance load was getting just used, the energy bills were getting higher. So hence it was looked at reduced efficiency. Now, you required both a centralized method and a decentralized mode as well, because both had its advantages and disadvantages. Now, virtualization actually came in between as a solution, which kind of does a compromise between centralized and decentralized models. So what does virtualization mean? So it involves creating and managing virtual instance of computing resources, which are operating system, storage, and network on a single physical hardware platform. So you take a very big single hardware physical machine and break it down into various small servers or virtual servers, as you call it, only with the computing resources, which is OS, storage, and network, And therefore, you kind of had a compromise between centralized and decentralized model of server management. Now, obviously, with this, what happened is you were able to save space at apple to apple comparison, save energy. You were able to utilize the resources in a better way. You could allocate resources in a better way, because if you had few RAM which is free, you could immediately give it to an application which was using or required additional RAM without necessarily waiting for order, getting the RAM, fixing it on the server, and then giving it to them. So with a click of a button, you could manage all this, and therefore this became a norm and it started gaining acceptance in the industry. So another advantage was that each application gets its own OS, so whatever parameter it wants, and it coexists on a single hardware platform with other applications. Now, security, stability, maximize resource utilization, enhance scalability is something we discussed, and therefore it improves the overall efficiency. And as we discussed, it emerged as a strategic compromise, leveraging both the centralized and decentralized approaches benefits. Now, what are the challenges of virtualization? So obviously, we see a lot of benefits. Still, there are some challenges there. One of the challenges, compatibility and support. Like, many software developers may not be able to guarantee a fail-safe operation of all programs in virtual machine, because you have a different instance and suddenly it gets into a path of another server, which is difficult, but it, you never know. And then, you cannot guarantee fail-safe operation. Licensing. So thorough examination of OS software license is necessary for virtualization. OS manufacturers introduce limitation on using their products in virtual machine, especially the OEM versions. Now, issues with licensing software based on number of processors started arising. Staff training. Now, obviously, people who were used to certain way of managing servers, and therefore there was a difficulty in finding exclusively virtualization experts for deploying and maintaining virtual infrastructure. And heavy virtualization platform would require significant staff training. Reliability. Now, failures of hardware components in physical server may affect all the virtual servers that are running on it. And planning and implementation of disaster recovery strategies were very crucial for ensuring the reliability. Security. Now, security is very critical due to multiple virtual servers on a single physical server. So you had to harden guest operating system. Hypervisor is essential to prevent unauthorized access. Now, risk of lateral movement of malware infection in the same virtual LAN increased, and VM sprawl, such as test or duplicate machines, may create vulnerabilities if not properly patched and maintained. So how do you address security issues in virtualization? So you secure the virtualized platform using privileged partition operating system hardening. You limit the VM resources used, so set limit on use of resource by each VM to prevent resource monopolization, and ensure time synchronization between host and guest should use synchronized time for investigative and forensic purposes. You should uninstall unnecessary programs and disable unnecessary services. Regular patching. Now, host or OS and virtualization software must be patched regularly and in timely fashion. Partitioning and resource allocation space restriction. So we use volume or disk partitioning to prevent denial of services from VMs filling up the space allocations. And you apply role-based access control on each virtual machine that is there. Disconnecting unused physical devices. So VM should be configured to disable connections to peripheral device by default, and enable connection to peripheral device only when necessary. Virtual devices. Ensure that virtual devices for guest OS are associated with appropriate physical device on the host system. File sharing between host and guest OSs. So file sharing should not be allowed between host and guest OS to mitigate the risk of malicious changes. Regular backups, like physical servers, virtual systems, a virtual server with one physical server requires regular backups for error recovery. Logging and auditing, it's critical for revealing security vulnerabilities and risks, and correlate server and network logs across virtual and physical infrastructure. Network access for host OS, so you restrict to management service only. If necessary, only allow network access to storage. Firewall protection, place a firewall on the host OS or locally to a small number of systems for protection. Restrict access to authorized systems for managing virtual infrastructure. Guest operating system hardening, minimize the number of accounts for each VM. Use strong, frequently changed passwords. Separate credentials for each guest OS. And protect guest OS with firewall on the host OS or locally. Using introspection capabilities. So monitor security activity between guest OS. Practically important for communication previously monitored in a non-virtualized environment. And use introspection to detect inappropriate or malicious traffic. So basically in the cloud, in the virtualization space, the information security aspects have been fine-tuned. It is more or less same as the physical server because the underlying technology still is the physical server. But still it has a lot of challenges in between with the guest OS and the host OS. And separation of host OS and guest OS with firewalls around it or locally managed is an important step for it. Otherwise, it is as good as like previous one. And of course, monitoring has improved or has to be enhanced to ensure that number of guest OS that you have, how are they communicating with each other? And especially some of the guest OS and host OS communication should be restricted or only need basis has to be given. So now we come to the second technology which is emerging, and how do you ensure you protect you and ensure you have information security around it, which is cloud computing. Now so virtualization helped us to move from get the good points of centralized and decentralized server management. Cloud computing went a step further. What it did, it shared computing environment via web-based services over the internet. Now the host programs from email to complex data analysis could be done on cloud computing. And at the back end, cloud computing can make use of virtualization, grid computing, and in grid computing, network computers are able to access and use the resource of every other computer on the network. It uses virtualization and grid computing as we discussed in the previous point. So the cloud computing at the back end takes the advantage of virtualization, which we discussed before, and grid computing, which we understood now. So in cloud computing adoption, security and privacy are the primary concerns. Now, inability to have direct control because cloud computing is not in your control raises security concern, making some hesitant to adopt cloud computing system, although that hesitancy is going away as the days goes by. And many individuals and corporate executives are uneasy about entrusting important data to external cloud service providers. So what are the cloud computing concerns? So first one is client privacy. So I can access the system from anywhere. So unless it is managed properly or monitored properly, my privacy can be compromised. Now, enterprise should consider reputation, history, and sustainability of providers before selecting them. Now, failure to meet agreed upon SLA could impact confidentiality and availability. Dynamic nature may cause delays in determining information location. Data storage location, uncertainty, trans-border data flows, compliance issues are other areas of concern in cloud computing. Risk of compromise to confidential information with third-party access is another issue. One of the contractual issues is whether ownership of IP, contract termination, what will happen to liability and obligation in such scenarios. Coming of information, public clouds allowed high availability but may commingle information assets, so co-mingle it. Legal and compliance challenges. So compliance to regulation and laws in different region, liability concerns are areas of concern in cloud computing. Business continuity and disaster recovery. Now, dynamic nature requires well-documented and tested plans. Security controls. Provider must demonstrate effective security controls and segregation of customer information in terms of cloud computing. Now, cloud computing is also not so simple. There are different types of cloud and adoption. Let's look at the three major ones first. One is you take infrastructure as a service, also known as IaaS. Now, it is the lowest level of cloud computing. So what it does is it provides you with pre-configured hardware and networking through virtualized interface. Example, Google Cloud Engine, Compute Engine, GCE. The second type of cloud variant is platform as a service, where the service provider manages servers, hardware, and network, and users focus on developing and implementing application software. Example, Windows Azure. Third is software as a service. In this case, the application software is delivered via cloud. Service provider handles application management, network hosting, and services are offered on the subscription basis. Example, Salesforce. So Salesforce has done an application which is gives through cloud, and it manages the entire application, and it's hosted out of AWS, Azure, or Google, as the case may be. And Google, Azure, or AWS manages their entire infrastructure requirement, while Salesforce ensures the software is up and running. This is a responsibility matrix. So we'll go first straight on in on-premise. As you can see, everything, the ownership is with the user. So whether it is application, data, runtime, middleware, operating system, virtualization, servers, storage, and networking. And in the case of SaaS, everything then is with the service provider, and IaaS and PaaS fall in between, where the application, data, runtime, middleware, and OS is the responsibility of the user, and the cloud providers only provide the virtualization, server, storage, and networking in IaaS. In PaaS, the middleware, OS, and runtime is also with the cloud provider. So the third emerging technology which this chapter covers is teleworking. Now, what is teleworking? Teleworking refers to a concept of working from a place where permanent kiosks and extensions are provided to perform work. The best example of teleworking may be an ATM, which is used for banking transaction. It is not a branch, but user can still use it for various kind of banking operations. Inquiry kiosk, ticketing at station are other examples of teleworking. So the basic security threat at teleworking center are physical security vulnerabilities. So the users are required to take maximum care and precaution while using this. And major security threats apart from direct physical threats are social engineering threats. So if you are inputting your password or user ID or some details, then someone over the shoulder is able to look into it and copy it and then use it. And this happens due to ignorance by users, or sometimes some recording device is put behind your shoulder and recorded and then taken advantage of. So these are the other threats for teleworking centers. The other type of emerging trends is online business and m-commerce. In online business, which is also known as e-commerce, it encompasses commercial activities conducted through websites and internet. Now, this can be facilitated using various devices such as stationary computers, laptops, PDAs, and smartphone. When conducted through mobile devices, it is specifically termed mobile commerce or m-commerce. However, engaging in online transaction introduces security risk, like use of untrusted machine, like if you start using machines at cyber cafe which cannot be trusted, potential vulnerabilities in newly released mobile application, security concerns related to constant influx of new devices, lack of security patches for identified vulnerabilities, and the risk of information leakage due to user negligence. So these are the types of security challenges faced by online business. Data breaches, so obviously all the data is there with the online business and someone able to hack it and get data, so there are data breaches risk. Phishing attacks, so phishing attacks that will take place with wrong emails and you click on it and you give your details. Malware and ransomware, insecure payment processing, insider threats, weak authentication, unsecured APIs, distributed denial of service attacks, lack of regular security audits and testing, and non-compliance with regulation. So these are 10 other major security challenges. Obviously, all of them can be addressed with user training, with having additional controls by the online business owners, constant checking, reviewing, and make it a better and safe place. And therefore, the more better and safe place the providers make, the more comfort you get. And because you have more comfort, their reputation increases and more people buy through those websites. The other emerging trend, one of the other one is thin client and bring your own device. So basically, it is talking about employees, newly recruited people, bringing their own device which they are used to from home, personal devices, and using for office purpose. So what kind of challenges that it throw up? So a thin client. So let's look at a thin client because both of them are little similar. A thin client is a terminal with minimal processing capabilities, compromising and comprising only of monitor and keyboard. So you cannot save data there. You don't have data storage or very limited. So you basically use that interface or terminal to only operate on the remote servers securely. Now the advantages is the enhanced compliance because I cannot save any data. I cannot go to any place except from centralized server. My control is higher and therefore I have my security is higher. So critical data remains on centralized servers, which enhances the overall security. While in the bring your own device, employees opt to use personal device for work purposes. Now obviously there is challenges of such a protocol is that because everyone gets their own device, there is a diverse operating system version which poses difficulties implementing uniform security controls. Your policy formulations, organizations are still making policies to govern the BYOD. And how do you balance the security and flexibility? So addressing the security concerns associated with various OS versions while accommodating the need for flexibility is a big challenge in the BYOD world. The last, I would not say emerging technologies for this, but what has happened is there is a kind of technology which is coming up, which kind of tells you that at the end point, I can do detection and response according to the threats that the system or the technology is able to find out. So with EDR, what has happened is, especially this became very popular during pandemic, where remote work, exposing end user machine to unsecured networks. So end user used to often connect through home broadband or hotspots, possessing security challenges for man-in-the-middle attack. Now, lower internet bandwidth also hampers timely deployment of security patches. End user machine sometimes store critical and sensitive business information. And securing this business machines is critical for safeguarding business sensitive data. So we implement the robust security measure at endpoint is essential. So EDR played a key role in detecting and responding to security threats effectively. So if your local machine kind of got compromised, the EDR system was able to relate to it, send the information to the central console, and also take your system out from the network or restrict access to it. So this way, what it does is it enables quick response to potential threats and ensures minimal impact on end user machine. because it keeps you out. You can do your other work, but you can't do this work. So this kind of technology became important and widely acceptable. So to summarize, so in a dynamic landscape of information security, emerging technologies played a pivotal role in shaping the future of cybersecurity. So as technology continues to evolve, several key trends are influencing the information security landscape. Proactive information security measures are therefore essential for preventing disruption to business operations and preserving overall resilience. The financial implication of cyber incidents underscore the critical role of information security in averting potential monetary losses associated with data recovery, legal proceedings, and business continuity. And in navigating these emerging trends, organizations must adopt proactive strategies by staying abreast of technology advancements and continually adapting their security measures to effectively counteract evolving cyber threats. So with this, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.